Good morning, Upperland Canal. It's KHNS Haynes Skagway and Klukwan. It's 10 o'clock, and you're tuned in for Art Matters, brought to you by the Alaska Arts Confluence, aiming to inspire a culture of collaboration by supporting artists and the arts for residents and visitors of the Chilkat Valley on Main Street in Haynes and online at alaskaartsconfluence.org. And the following program is a production of KHNS. Its content does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the board of directors and staff of Lincoln Canal Broadcasting Incorporated, the licensee. And this morning we have Heather and Kate Bohr to start us off.
Marley, it's nice to be back here. We kind of had a little summer off when everybody's too busy to talk. And then, you know, but then it's still sort of summer.
Earlier, let's see. It's already been a couple months since last Art Matters. But we had Jacob Wersing on and John Svensson on to kind of talk about the new generation and the old generation of arts in the Upperland Canal. And today we're talking a little bit about kind of looking ahead for the fall and winter and
our opportunities to both do art and also
participate, experience it.
Right. We'll be talking with representatives from the arts councils in Haynes and Skagway about their upcoming seasons. And featured artist is Kate Bohr, who will have a First Friday exhibit at the brewery.
Excellent.
And because always this is in conjunction, of course, with the fabulous First Friday series in Haynes. And later on in the show, we'll be talking with Terry Podziki about her art and the classes that she offers throughout the winter. So there's a lot going on. So, Kate, welcome. Why don't you, you introduce yourself for us?
That's always a tough question. let's see. Well, I was born and raised Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. So I have a lot of farmer country in me. And I got my BA in art education and then immediately moved out west to San Francisco. So have a little hippie in me too, I think. made my way to Utah and became an avid skier. And so I love the snow and the desert area. And 1980, finally made my way up to Haynes, Alaska to visit friends and really got into river running over the next 30 years. Became a river guide and an outfitter and still go back to Utah to ski, but really love living in two beautiful places. So,
right, you've been in Haynes now for how many years?
Well, let's see, 1980, what is that? Almost 40 years, right?
Wow. Yeah. And really, you're kind of downplaying. You're one of our pioneer river guides here,
<You're>
right?
I was, I think, one of the first Chilkat chicks out there. And, with your dad, as a matter of fact.
Marley's dad, yes. So, even as a friend of yours, was not aware that what an artist you are and a committed artist. So tell us about the show that's at the brewery, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, I've always considered myself sort of a dabbler of the arts. I'm one of those people that aren't really great at one thing but good at many. So
you're being modest, but go ahead.
I have done silk screening and painting on silk and jewelry, and this at the show there'll be a variety of things at the brewery. So I have a couple silk screen t-shirt designs, and I have photographs that I've done, which is kind of a recent interest, and three paintings, and my wearable art outfit from the Southeast State Fair.
So multidisciplinary.
Yeah.
So how do you squeeze art into such a busy life? Because in addition to being a river guide in the summer, you managed one of the major restaurants at Alta,
yes,
right? In the
yes,
winter
Snowbird,
for
yeah.
35 years or
yeah.
whatever. Snowbird, I got to get the...
Yeah.
I know that's important to people down there.
Yeah, to me it's the same thing.
But
yeah.
It's not to them.
Oh no, also it's not Snowbird.
So you're not, there's not a lot of time for...
No, I think lately, of course being retired helps. I have now more time, but I have gotten together with a group of women in Salt Lake City and we try to paint once a week. So that really helps motivate. And I just find for me it's relaxing. It's one of those things that I can turn my brain off and just kind of let it flow. And a lot of things don't get finished, but that doesn't really matter. So, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. Some people play music and other people read and other people do other things. So it's really just a relaxing exercise for me. And you have to stay in practice just like everything else. So I just try to make it happen and really kind of revitalize me in it the last couple of years. I kind of got away from it when I was a guide and was gone all the time. But all those things are influence. You know, influences my art too.
Do you find that having a group to meet with really is helpful and inspiring? Is that something you'd encourage? I know there are several groups in Haines and Skagway that meet sort of informally. I know the Knitting Ladies, for instance, or some of the events that happen about sip and paint and stuff. And I'm just wondering if you think that's something that might be more of a possibility for people to do.
Absolutely. I think it really helps to just dedicate that time and to meet somewhere and also to get advice from other people, what this looks like, what this is doing, see what they're doing. I mean, even First Friday, I think, is a wonderful idea because, A, it made me finish some things that were laying around, but also just to see what other people are doing that you would never know in this community.
Right.
Have such talent and see their work. So
right, so that I mean that happens all the time. I mean, I'm looking even down at the First Friday rundown, and we have like Cassie Miller and her jewelry that she's making in macrame, and you know, of course, we know Donna Cattati's work, but it's always inspiring to see more of that. And she's got a portrait study at the Sheldon Museum again. But John Hagen has he'll be at the distillery with a new set of photographs from his experience going up to Bristol Bay,
yeah.
And sort of taking photographs of his roots, essentially, of the Anangan people that were there that were basically wiped out by the flu, I think. Mm-hmm. And those were his ancestors, his great-grandparents or so, I think is the story. But very powerful. And, you know, there's John, who's by day is an aide at the school,
yeah.
but as a Rasmussen, you know, grant-winning artist, so it's pretty neat that we get to see that at First Friday as well. So I want to know what goes into doing one of these exhibits.
It was a little more work than I thought it was going to be, just because of getting everything framed and even signed. And then for me, one of the hardest things was coming up with like titles and note cards and, you know, how to display them. And I had to borrow mannequins, and it, all of a sudden it was like, wow, there's a lot of extra little things. You can't just, you know, throw your, I mean, you can, and you can be pretty casual about it, but you want it to look nice for the community. And mm-hmm. One of the only opportunities to show your stuff. So yeah, it took a lot of thinking more than anything, but just what does it take to make a show look fairly professional.
Is there a theme? I mean, how did you decide which pieces to include? You know, the photographs or the paintings, or you
know,
and then the wearable
art? That's pretty much everything I have. living in two homes, I do have more paintings and things down in Salt Lake City. And I actually did bring up a lot of my photographs from down there. So I even had to bring things together to have enough for a show. So
when people go, what will they see? What are they? Are they portraits? Or are they inspired by the natural world? Are they abstract?
Let's see. I have a painting from the Grand Canyon that's in the natural world. I have portraits. I have a painting from Italy. So a little bit of everything. Portraits are very difficult, and it's something I'm trying to get better at. Those are my paintings, and then most of my photographs are from the natural world, just mm-hmm. Close-ups and places that I've traveled in the last couple years. So,
now you've traveled a lot, and you've been out and about in wild places. Do you have favorite places? If you were telling somebody who was thinking, maybe I'm going to go someday down this river or up that mountain, is there some place that you would tell people to go before it's gone or before they're gone?
Well, definitely Grand Canyon, I think, needs to be on everybody's bucket list. And I guess, unfortunately, it is on every bucket list. So there are a lot of people in the Grand Canyon. And certainly the Tatchin Shini right in our backyard. I would recommend anyone that possibly can go down and see it because it is one of the wonders of the world. And it's still true wilderness. You know, one of the things about traveling is I've realized more and more in Africa or South America or wherever you go, there's more and more people. And so here on the Tocantinzinho and the Alsek River systems, you're out there and you may not see anyone. And it's really it's becoming
really
rare.
Cool. Yeah, it's harder and harder to get and find those places. I remember connecting with you on Cataract Canyon, and Dark Canyon is one of the hikes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking to you about that. That was a really, really beautiful place, too,
yeah.
The upper section of the Colorado.
Yes.
What are the responses when you are guiding people, say, in the Tocantinzinho or even the Chilkat River? Or I know lately you're still doing tours with people around the Golden Circle or through, you know, who aren't from here, aren't around here. I mean, their response really is one of reverence or?
Absolutely. I think they're pretty stunned for the most part, and I don't think it completely sinks in at first when they see our scenery up in the pass and even around town, you know, all of our cultural things that we have here in town. It's just, it's such a big country and so much to absorb. But people are truly amazed and blown away by how beautiful this country is. And I'm still dabbling in the guiding world, and I love just to show people not only a good time, but, you know, what we have here to offer, and to protect it, too, is a big focus on a lot of my trips, is to say we need to protect the wilderness here.
And then as part of your art, then, you know, making sure people can peek in to trying to see it the way you did. I mean, especially I'm thinking the paintings certainly have a emotion to them, but the photographs, now that's new, and did that come from maybe wanting to share these places with people?
Absolutely. And my husband's a really good photographer, so I learned a lot from him. And then I have to say, honestly, the quality of cell phone cameras now are amazing, and so it really makes it so much easier, because you don't have to carry all your camera equipment with you, and it's there in your pocket, and you can take some incredible photographs instantaneously and, you know, on the moment. So that's making photography a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. But, wow. So now the painting for you then, and to encourage other people to maybe, who maybe like you were so-called dabblers, to now spend more time, what would you say are the key ingredients to perhaps someday, this time next summer, having a show over things that somebody put together this winter?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is just to get started. Just start something. And sometimes that's the hardest part, of just getting out your paint kit, getting out that canvas, and just starting. And so just like with you writing a book, how do you write a book? Well, you just have to start putting words on paper, and then once you start, it will start to flow and come out, and you'll get it out more and more. So and start simply, maybe not get so.
Yeah, it doesn't involved. Have to be the you know, Blue Iris is Mary Oliver's poem, you know. It can just be a weed in the sidewalk. Like, let's just start.
Exactly.
Simply. I think, too, the discipline of it. I like the idea of a group. Like what you said, just having a group that you meet with even weekly, then you have to have done something in between, or have something new to show.
Or not.
But at least you're showing up, and you have that hour of or two of of working together. I think the discipline, and that would go with the same with practicing music.
Oh yeah,
too.
Definitely.
You know, as Marley knows that. I mean, just having a group of people that are waiting for you when we're all going to play together, and paying attention. I think that's the other thing too. I think probably the third ingredient might be that when you're doing it, to really do it, like with all of your attention.
Yes.
And not be thinking about other stuff or
just going through the motions or something. Like it is, as you said, practice, right? And part of practice is really reinforcing better skills, as opposed to, you know, maybe not the best ones.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, this is it's kind of a
One thing you had mentioned
thought.
Is that you had finished a lot of unfinished projects, and I think that's something that happens to a lot of people. Is you get to a point where, like, I don't know where to to finish that, how to finish this, and but that it's okay to set it down and come back to it.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. And I, you know, reminded myself this is a fun exhibit, and it might not be completely finished, but you know, it's a casual, fun event, and it is what it is.
So, what's the longest you've had some unfinished piece sitting there that then you went and finished? I'm just, you know, this is good. This is it will encourage people who may have something.
Yeah,
one of the paintings in this show, I think, has been not only sitting but on our wall, half unfinished and no frame for at least 3 or 4 years.
Cool.
So you liked it enough to display it, but there was something that bugged you about it?
Yeah. Like a lot of blank canvas. Yes.
So when people saw that and thought it was on purpose, it wasn't really.
No. I like your use of empty space.
Well, thank you very much for coming in, Kate. I think we've got Tom waiting in the wings here. And again, your show is going to be at the brewery for how long? How long is it up for? Do we know?
About a month, I believe.
So people will have an opportunity mm-hmm. to see it and even through the, it'll be up during the KHNS annual meeting, which is September 27th. So you'll get a whole crowd in there, too.
Well, yeah, come on out and say hi, and just a good excuse to see everything.
Well, thanks so much for stopping by. It's nice to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks, Kate. And we'll have a little music break here, and we'll be right back with Tom Haywood from the Haines Arts Council. Track from Sudan Archives, and we've got Tom Haywood in the studio. Hi, Tom.
Yes, Tom Haywood,
co-chair of the Haines Arts Council.
Yes, and also the recipient of the Governor's Award for the Arts.
Oh, you remember that.
Remember that, Tom?
Thanks
it's a
for
big
reminding
deal.
The world about
I
that.
I love that,
yeah,
Tom.
Good job.
Of course, for all of his arts advocacy in Haines and work on the Arts Council for how many years, Tom?
Boy, I don't know. I've been on it for over 20 years.
Yes,
now.
Yes. Yeah. So,
and Heather, of course, you are a past recipient of the
this
Governor's
is true,
Award
but
too. So
I didn't do as much for mine. Yeah. I don't think.
Oh, I think you did.
anyway, so tell us about the Arts Council, the Haines Arts Council, what the schedule is, or anything you want to say about it.
Well, we're really, really happy the way this season is coming together. We've got some really exciting things going on. Some of you already started a week or so ago when we had this excellent Isaac Opatz and Diotto concert downstairs. Mm-hmm. And wow, I heard that was great. I was out of town that day, but I wish I could have been there for it. So coming up on September 29th, we've got a fantastic group coming. They're called Che Apalache. They are a group of musicians that one is from...
South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. One is from Mexico, and two of them are from Argentina. Mm-hmm. And they play traditional bluegrass-type instruments, and they do a little bit of bluegrass music, too, with their style. But they also combine other multicultural musical forms, you know, a lot of Argentinian and Spanish-sounding music, and some really creative stuff. So can't wait for that event. I've heard them Well, you played a little bit on the radio.
Yeah,
I know,
yeah. And they were just featured on NPR's All Things Considered a couple of weeks ago. Awesome. So I think we're really lucky to kind of get these guys right now because I think they're about to really blow up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting! Well, yeah, right, so then we could talk about how we knew them.
Yeah, right. I know. We could put a poster up here.
They came to
the studio and remind ourselves. They just came out with a new album that was produced by Bella Fleck. Bella Fleck is just enamored with these guys. He thinks they're awesome. So this is, it's kind of a unique and new musical form.
Right, because the guy from South Carolina traveled to Argentina to teach, and then he was teaching bluegrass lessons, and then his top three students then helped form this band. So it's a real mix between the bluegrass style of the Appalachia area and the real kind of Latin style of Argentina. And so we have their new album here, so we can play a little bit probably right after this.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But some of their stuff is really bluegrass and some of the stuff is very Latin.
I heard one that was real Mexican, almost mariachi sounding too, and without
so
the
what
horns,
does Che Appalache mean? Appalachia?
Appalache would be then kind of this a Spanish version of Appalachia.
Mm-hmm.
And Che is an Argentinian slang for dude or something.
I'm so glad you're here today, Marlon.
yeah, so
this is why you
you've
need
heard of
to have
Ernesto
smart
Che Guevara, right? Che Guevara.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
right.
So when he traveled and then got
so
to Cuba.
So it's an informal
it was you're Argentinian. Oh, what's up, Che? Because Argentinians say that a lot. So when you say something a lot in another country, they're going to refer to you as that.
Now I learned a lot.
Yeah, already. Right. So it's
I didn't teach Marley that in second grade.
All right, Tom. So
yeah, so that's
going to
be really awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
And October 9th, we've got a guy named Johnny B. coming down. He is actually a Homer resident.
Johnny B. He was on the radio show with Tom Baudette in the old days, right?
And he
Tom
travels,
Baudette and Johnny B.
He travels nationally. He's an incredible pianist.
Mm-hmm.
He does boogie woogie piano, which he'll do some of. But he also has an Alaskan program that he does with a video, with all kinds of incredible Alaskan scenery that he plays his original compositions to. So it's a kind of a, multi-faceted approach.
Yeah,
he's really, really great. And I've seen him do other things with the piano that are very exciting. Mm-hmm. So October 9th, that'll be in the main hall as well. November 3rd, we've got a solo artist. He goes by the name Roop Loops. And he's a really interesting electronica kind of guy.
He does loops with
mouth percussion and song and
like using a 4-track or an 8-track player, right? So you record one loop and then record a few different tracks, layering them and building them up into a full. So you're using one person can do all the instruments and kind of create a fuller sound.
Right, and he does this with audience participation, too.
Oh, cool.
He'll do it with kids. He's going to perform at school, of course, too. But he'll do it with the members of the audience will get involved with this. Everybody will be involved. And
cool.
It'll be really a great and very unusual kind of show for us to do. Looking towards February on the... I'm just going to give a little preview of this because it's not solidified completely, but it's highly likely. We have an illusionist by the name of Scott Sylvan.
So illusionist versus magician.
Don't ask me. Maybe Marley knows the difference.
Marley, you know the difference.
Illusions, Michael. They're illusions.
Okay. All right,
but,
that's enough.
the New York Times wrote a review that started with wow, wow, and wow. Mm-hmm. Those were their first four words.
Okay.
So
that's a pretty good recommendation.
Uh-huh, and he's been on the Today Show, and he's really fantastic. That would be February 5th and 6th if we can make this thing happen, and I think we can. Then on the 23rd of February, if you like cello, you're going to like this guy. His name is Gideon Friedman. He goes by Cello Bop. And he comes and does fantastic things with the cello, including, some classical stuff, but mostly original compositions, and he involves looping as well. So he's going to have a whole
cello bop,
multi-layered
it. It must be
cello
sound.
Concert. Yeah, yeah. So, and I've the director of the Fairbanks Concert Association, Ann Biberman, has seen him perform, and she said he is fantastic. So really hope people can come out to see him and all these people, as a matter of fact. Looking into the winter beyond February, the Haynes Arts Council always, well, not always, but for the last 5-6 years, we've been putting on the Oscar-nominated short films, mm-hmm. and we will do that again this year. That'll be documentaries and animated and short subjects. So just look forward to that. We will also do our traditional Northern Light Showcase, which is really fun. Takes, you know, local musicians and artists and performers, not just music, it can be anything. And we give them a chance to showcase what they've been doing during the year with their time and their energies.
Yeah, it'll be kind of a culmination, like, of the kind of things we're talking about today. Yeah. At the end of the year, right? We can all present the art that we've been doing over the winter.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Tom, why, you know, what does live performance like this, or gathering, you know, at the Chilkat Center and coming to shows and bringing them here and these performers, what does that mean to an audience member? I mean, how enriching is it, or why, or how important is it that, you know, to be, it's sort of symbiotic, right?
You know, there's a power to live performance that you just can't get any other way. Excuse me, Marley, I'm sorry. You know, it's radio. Mm-hmm. Radio's a big thing, too. But when you're watching a performer that really is really awesome, I mean, it impacts you. I have several experiences as a young person growing up that I saw live. I know they're what impacted me in my musical interests right now. I would not be playing guitar like I do and fiddle like I do right now if it weren't for a couple of people. I remember when I was in junior high, I went and saw a bluegrass band in Minnesota called the Middle Spunk Creek Boys. And guess what? A young Peter Ostrushko was playing in that band. He was the mandolinist. And I was just blown away. And, you know, I want to play guitar. I want to play fiddle and these kind of things. So I don't know. It can just do stuff. It can do something to you. It can really inspire you, whether you're a musician or just whether you just have an interest in music or dance or whatever we happen to be putting on. So
I like it that, you know, even when I go to an event that I'm not sure it's something that I'm particularly interested in, even, again, I always leave thinking, wow, there are people that are so talented in this world, and how do you do that, or how do you right. become that? And then I'm also always just kind of floored at the generosity of these performers. You know, the traveling to Haynes is not easy, and
right.
then the there they are putting their whole soul out for 30 or 40 of us there, you know,
yeah,
and you're just
right.
like, wow, I just heard something that, you know, no one will ever hear again in this beautiful place with these tremendously talented people. And it is a kind of a blessing.
It's a blessing. It's an opportunity that I hope more and more people will take advantage of. Because like you said, 30 or 40, I mean, it's still worth it. But wouldn't it be great if it was 130 mm-hmm. or 140 or even more? We really, the Arts Council can pretty much guarantee you that what we are going to present is going to be really high quality.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just an experiment in quality. When you come to that show, you're going to get your money's worth.
And then you also do have memberships, right, Tom?
We have memberships, and that really is great. That mm-hmm. that's what sustains us. We would not make it if it were just ticket sales.
Okay, well, so we're actually going to, and you, I know that the Haynes and Skagway Arts Councils, as well as you mentioned Fairbanks, or even Johnny B is coming from Homer, a big, sure there's a lot going on there with the arts, that mm-hmm. you all collaborate sometimes, and that's why we end up getting some really terrific artists, because they're mm-hmm. piggybacking as on tours through the state,
right?
Correct?
Yeah, Che Apalache is a great example of that, and all these people I've mentioned so far.
And I do too want to give out a shout out to the Alaska State Council on the Arts, and that the funding has been
Absolutely.
Returned, because
yeah.
I know that's a big part of all of these local arts councils, and that national, those funds for the arts that come through
Absolutely.
The state. And without it, some of these really bigger shows just wouldn't happen.
Exactly. Our state is much richer for having mm-hmm. our state, Alaska,
right.
Alaska State Arts Council
okay.
thriving for sure.
All right. Well, thanks, Tom. We're going to go off to, we're going to talk with the folks in Skagway now.
Yeah, we got Donna on the line, and we're just going to play a little Che Apalache, and then we'll be talking to Donna. Thank you, Tom. And
wait, big lineup.
Thank
a lot
you.
Of work.
And there's
Thanks
more in
to
the spring
Council.
Too. So I didn't
there
even
are,
get to
more?
It all.
There
so,
well, what
yeah.
else? I mean,
well,
quick,
just
give
real
us
quickly.
Quick.
We've
yeah,
got
yeah.
we've got a jazz blues group, gypsy blues group called Blue Moon Marquee.
Okay.
In April, and they're kind of a smoky sound. That's gonna be great. And a fantastic piano player who infuses tons of humor into her performances. Her name is Sarah Hagen. And she's just one of those self-deprecating humorists kind of thing that just can blow you away on the piano. So looking forward to that, too. That's
well,
in May.
Well, and we'd love to see that Steinway rolled out, too. Right, so that's right. always good.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks, right, Tom. Well, a lot of work with the Arts Council. And if anybody wants to help, you're always welcome to have someone set up chairs or bake cookies or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
And we've got lots of great people on our board that help. Marley included. Chip included, Henry Leisha from the famous door next door here.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Henry Leisha just joined the Arts Council as well.
Yeah.
That's great. Love to see it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank
okay.
you, Tom. Here's a little Che Apalache.
Shepherds would roam o'er so harsh a land. There the sun beats down like hellfire. Bones mark a path clear across the sands. Forlorn souls upon them walking. Ay, 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 mi corazón. Venga nuestra salvación. Baby Moses, one but 1 year old, when his mama crossed the border.
Well, that's a little Che Apalache there. I'm pretty excited for that here in Haines next month. But coming up next week, we've got a lot of stuff going on in Skagway, and we've got Donna Grifford on the line. Hi, Donna.
Hello. Good to be here today.
Yeah, good to have you here. So we were just talking to Tom on the Haines Arts Council, and I like to really tie everything together. And I know that the Skagway Arts Council has your big membership kickoff event this next week. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we do. So Saturday, September 14th, we have our annual membership appreciation meeting, and we do appreciate our members of the Skagway Arts Council because, like Tom said, we just can't do it without them. So at our meeting, it's a great chance to find out what's coming up next, but also give any input, suggestions on what our followers might like to see in the future. We'll have some coffee, tea, cookies, that kind of thing, financial statements, and it's a good time to renew your membership. If you renew that evening, you'll get in free to that concert that we're having, which is the Night of Queens. It's a acapella female group, mostly from Juneau, but several Skagway singers are going to be joining them. And let's see, what else? Also with membership, you get a discount to events all year long. So if you're a good follower, you're sure to earn your money back real quick with the discounts that you get with membership.
Yeah, definitely. Same thing for the Haines Arts Council events here. The lineup for on the Queens, a Night of Queens, looks great. And I know there's a few actually reporters that are featured on statewide, like Rasha McChesney and the other like reporters that you'd hear on Alaska News Nightly, and other Coast reporters are on there too.
They sing?
Yeah, they sing. Yeah.
I'd love to hear a singing
amazing.
Newscast.
Ooh, that's in thought for the future.
we'll bring that up to them. And then Taylor Vidic, who has played in Haines before too, with Lucas Hager, she's part of that crew. But yeah, there's what, like 10? It's a group of 10.
Wow,
yeah,
I would. That's worth really getting cool. over to Skagway for. Yeah. If in Haines, that just sounds terrific. We have a women's a cappella chorus in Haines, but it could be inspired by this group. It
sounds
like.
Yeah, the Haines a cappella women's choir is like the. Definitely, there's a generational thing there.
It sounds like they've had ever-changing numbers, too, where they started with the Alaska Folk Festival. They're up to sometimes 20 of them performing at a time. And,
wow.
I think we're going to have at least 10 here, I think I was told. But like I said, the number could change.
And where's the venue? Where do you have them?
That one's going to be at the annual meeting is going to be in the Fellowship Hall, which is behind the White Church, which is the First Presbyterian Church on Fifth and Main. And the concert will follow shortly after at 7 in the historic sanctuary, which has awesome acoustics.
Oh, yeah, and that octagonal shape, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. It's beautiful.
So, yeah, looking forward to that. What else do we have coming up?
Yeah, is there anything else going on for the fall and winter?
Yeah, we're still working on a few events falling into place, and that Tom Haywood over there, he's a tough act to follow on the radio, partly because, he's just got so much going on, but he also makes it easier for us because some of the events we have, we kind of partner or tag along with the same ones that they have going on. I'll try to touch on some of the ones that I don't think Haines has, but we have, we have a possible painter coming to town, Dominic Modlinski, and he's a Canadian artist. He does helps bring out the inner interpretive spirit in painting exercises, and we're hoping to have him October 11th, 12th, 13th, if we get enough interest from people in town that would like to take some painting classes. It's oil-based or acrylic, and people can contact me if they're interested, and hopefully we can get that going. We also have Rock Camp coming up, or I should say Rock, R-A-W-K, Camp with Speed Control, which is hugely popular with the kids here in town. We normally do it during the summer, but they were booked pretty full, and so we're doing it at the school October 17th through 20th, and kids can sign up for kind of an intensive practice on either like keyboard or drums or guitar, and they learn about the instruments and how to present a concert for the community. And they pull off an amazing rock concert every year, pretty much for the last, I think, maybe 6 or so years.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I think the Rock Camp has come here before.
Yeah, I think they have been over
years
there.
Years ago.
They did it for the girls, didn't they? Didn't they do a girls' rock camp, maybe? Or was boys, too?
Or Skagway's been advertised, has been having it, and then we've
but
sent
the one
some,
in Haines, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's very cool.
Yeah, very cool. Like for getting kids inspired to play guitar, and also that kind of collaboration, because it's one thing to sit in your room and practice guitar, but it's another thing to write a song and get everyone to learn it and play it.
Yeah,
which is a great thing to instill in people early on. Like, oh, there's a whole process to this, and it's important to maintain this process, otherwise you're it's hard to get your music out there.
Yeah, it helps give them a little stage presence to learn how to shake your hair and rock your instrument and bring it. And
that's why we're in radio.
It's actually probably one of the brings out a larger audience for us too than some of our other events, because
the
parents
involved.
And
yeah,
other
parents.
Townspeople just really love it. It's real popular. So we also have a couple others that we're working on, also getting Sarah Hagen here, thanks to Tom putting a bug in my ear. She's the piano humorist. And
yeah, definitely try and get her.
Yep,
she's
working on that. Also thinking about the Illusionist, and Cello Bop we have mm-hmm. coming here also. And I believe his, February, the date is a little up in the air because of the ferry plane schedule, but around the 22nd, I think. And we're hoping that Gideon Friedman combines his cello. He does original scores for silent films, and the plan right now is to have a Buster Keaton film that'll incorporate classical, jazz, folk, world music elements with the electric cello. And that's all original scores that he puts to film. So we're looking forward to that. And we're also, our library has its 100-year anniversary this year, 2020, so we're hoping to partner with them on several events. It might be that one, and also maybe the Sarah Hagen concert. And checking my list here, what else? We have all of our usuals that are very popular for the upcoming year, Folk Festival, Season Kickoff, Blues Brews Barbecue, Maggio Scholarship Fundraiser. We have a dance troupe coming, too, hopefully in September 2020. It takes us about a year or two to line these things up in advance, but we have something called Eisenhower Dance, hopefully, coming, and I think they're probably stopping in Haines as well.
Oh, wow, wonderful.
Yeah, lots going on, lots to look forward to. We've had an awesome season that we just finished off with some very accomplished violin and viola people that just dropped down from White Horse, and looking forward to the next year.
You know, I just asked Tom why it's important, why having live music or live entertainment coming through small towns like ours. Is there something that for you that is makes all the work going into this worthwhile?
The joy on people's faces when you pull it off. Sometimes it does seem like, oh, geez, yeah, this is tiring. How do we keep doing this time after time? But, just to see the excitement in the community, getting to meet some of these world-renowned, musicians that we've been able to bring to Alaska. It's just really exciting getting to meet them, and for others to get to meet them. In our small communities, you're likely to run into somebody at the restaurant, right after the concert or something. It's like, wow.
No, I agree. I mean, that's the thing. I grew up in New York, and the opportunities to go to big things and shows and concerts and all that were all around, but it's the intimacy here. I mean, that you're just sitting there, and they're right in the room, and they're having a cookie with you afterwards, and it's a whole other thing. Like, it makes you think, wow, I could do that too, or I could be like that someday. I think especially for younger people, seeing that rather than this rarefied sort of untouchable, they're right there, and not only that, they're oftentimes praising the communities where we live.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very rewarding, and it's when we bring them here, I think sometimes people lose sight of the fact of how affordable it is here, because we're offering concerts usually $10, $15 is maybe our max, and these are the same musicians that if you were in New York City or Chicago, which they definitely perform there, you'd be paying at least $75 a ticket or $150 a ticket. But those performers are just so excited to see Alaska, they're willing to reduce their rates sometimes for us. And we're able to offer them a lot less expensively than you would have to pay, down in the lower 48. So that's pretty cool, too.
That is really true. And one thing I really appreciate about the Arts Councils and getting artists up here. I think that about does it for our Arts Council update. Thanks, Donna. I'm really excited about this upcoming year and the collaboration between the Arts Councils and the state and getting some of these artists up here. And thanks for joining us
today.
All right,
yeah, thanks so much. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
And we've got Terry Podziki waiting in the wings for us here, and actually can probably just bring her in right here.
Geez, we're gonna just drop her right in without any introduction. Luckily, she's a pro at
this.
She's a
pro.
Well, I don't know about that.
Terry, we were talking today, just the sort of the theme of this Art Matters was, you know, opportunities, whether they're opportunities to make art or to hear it. I know you're involved in the Arts Council, too.
Yeah,
lots of hats going on. But I was thinking particularly of your classes that you do. And maybe you could introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about some of those. Would that be?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm Terry, and been in Haines for 36 years. And I have been making art pretty much since I got to Haines. A lot of opportunities opened up for me, and one of the things that I really appreciated was, and I've told this to people, is nobody asked for like my resume. Nobody said, you know, we want to see it on paper before we give you the job. And one incident was Zoran Yankovic, the chief.
Right, I remember that.
And he's like, hey, can you make these city seals for us for our cars? And I had never done anything like that at all. And I said, sure I can. And after much trials and tribulation, I got the seals done. But I so appreciated that opportunity. And so it just grew from there. Basically, a big part of my art career has been self-taught. And it's been an incredible journey to learn, and the trials and tribulations, and you know, making lemonade out of lemons, and
well, some of the things you make too. I mean, you mentioned the decals, but there's stained glass.
Yeah,
that are.
Yeah, I started with that
in many homes around Haines. People, oh, that's one of Terry's.
Yeah,
you know?
Infused glass. Then I went into fused glass, mm-hmm. sandblasting,
t-shirts for years. You did
silk
every kind of
on
silk
the kitchen
screen
table,
tears.
And
yeah.
Now my daughters are into that, and I couldn't be prouder. And
yes, I'm wearing one of the 907 clothing. Are your girls?
Very
so
lovely.
You've
I wear
taught
almost
them
every
that
day.
They
I'm
can
like,
do
I
that.
I can't believe I don't have their sign.
I said I better wear it because Terry's
I
coming.
I had it on yesterday. But a few years ago, I took an art class from a master, and it just struck me that I learned so much in that week that I had been taking months, years to learn. And it was like this fast forward and opened so many doors. And I was able to evolve as an artist, and it brought me so much joy that I wanted to share that mm-hmm. and share what I learned. And I think Haines has such a need for putting arts in the hands of others to create their own images and creations, and I just think it's so important. And when I had my first class, I was so overwhelmed by the response from the people that took it. I was like, this is what I want to do. And so I've left Skagway. I was in Skagway for 12 seasons and missed a lot of what went
Jewel
on
Gardens,
in Haines.
Right?
Yeah, Jewel Gardens, mm-hmm. which was an amazing experience there. But it was definitely time to come home and be with my family and pursue my dreams, which is art. And so I've started having these classes, and my brain is constantly just in motion, like what can I teach next? But and I'll be releasing my September classes here very shortly. But I also realized in the process of the enthusiasm of all the people that take the classes, I need to be able to offer even more to get even more people, because they're filling up like in an hour.
Right. We see the signups, and I'll think, oh, maybe I should do that, but too late.
Yeah,
I feel really bad about that
because I really want others to experience them as well. So I just got approval from the borough for a studio extension, which will be a classroom.
At your
well.
House?
Mm-hmm, at my house.
Oh, wow.
And it's in the classes are in the house now because the studio is such a disaster. A few select people have had a class in the studio, and I can't imagine what they're thinking. I want it to be inspirational, and for me, it's my inspiration, but it's also industrial and messy. And so I'm hoping it'll be a long process. It'll be like, okay, I can afford wood for another wall right now. And then another wall and another wall. But I've got 2 years for the permit.
So I have a question for you. So what do you think when people who come in and you know, take a class, and the things you've taught, I know, are like some stained glass classes,
yeah,
and some fusing glasses.
Yeah.
What happens when people come in and they say, well, I'm not really an artist, but I'd just like to try this? Have you seen sort of the transformative nature of it?
Yeah, it is so amazing. It truly warms my heart and makes me happy, because a lot of adults in particular say, I don't have any artistic talents, and I'm like, you don't need any. Just use your imagination. There's no right or wrong. Every piece is going to be beautiful, and I have seen people that have taken my classes regularly, they have developed their own style, specific style, which is so cool, and I am learning from them, and then I see others who are trying different techniques. They're going out of their comfort zone, you know, maybe using colors that they don't normally do, or, you know, not going the safe route of just, okay, I'm going to just place this here and here and here, but like, okay, I'm going to throw caution to the wind and just let's try it. And they all turn out so beautiful. They really do. And my children's classes, I am just amazed at, their mind is not cluttered with everything. And I will do the demonstration and, you know, give a little instruction. And there are some children that come in and they just like, bam, 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 and they know exactly what they want. It's in their little head, and they do such remarkable work. And the color choices, and it's beautiful. As a matter of fact, my cover photo on my Glasswing Studio page is a student's work, because it's a child. That it's incredible.
So, like, for your own life, I mean, being an artist, I mean, it has brought you joy.
Oh, so much.
Is there more? I mean, where's the balance between the teaching and doing your own art? Are you, I mean, is it six of one and half a dozen of the other, or are you feeling like you're evolving into teaching it more? Do you miss the time to do your own work?
Well, I work every day on art. I mean, there isn't a day that doesn't exist that I don't do art. I have one of my last orders going out to Skagway today, just trying to get that last bit of the season in. I get great joy from producing my own work, but it's slowed down. So right now I'm in like this transition area before I start the big push for public market, that I'm experimenting. And I have definitely had what for myself I consider failures, but I'm like reworking it. And cool, I just made lemonade out of that disaster, you know, and it's actually going in a gallery. And for me, the reason I make art and sell it is because I love the idea of my energy that I put into that piece going into someone's home or on their neck, or as a gift giving to somebody else. That, for me, that's what it's all about, that energy being released, because I'm always positive when I'm doing art. It's brings so much joy to me that it's like the best thing ever. And that's what I want students to have. I want them to feel that joy of creating something that came from within them and spreading that.
In our time here. So Terry, so tell us now, how should people who are thinking about taking these classes this winter that you're offering, do you have any rough schedule of them, or a way to place to look, a website or a...
So last year I tried like putting 8 classes out there at one listing, and mm-hmm. I usually put on Happening in Haynes, mm-hmm. and then Glasswing Studio on Facebook. And I thought that would take like couple weeks, but by the end of the day all the classes were full. So I'm really, and if anyone has suggestions, I would really love to be able to get them out there more so that the broader population of Haynes can see them, because not everybody goes on Facebook all day long,
right.
And if I put it too many places, then I'm not going to be able to juggle
to know who got it
in first and stuff like that. So I really think that I'll be offering more classes than I did last year. Coming up will be a kaleidoscope class, paint pour again. People really love that. The coral bowls and vases, that's been a big demand. I did a little survey on Facebook, and I got feedback from people that have taken the classes. Huh. So, and some new ones as well.
Well, great. I think we're like right. Marley's looking.
We're pretty close. Are you doing any more ornament classes as
well? Oh, that is like the number one.
Number one. Everybody wants.
But that requires so much of my time because I cut all the pieces and then
they have them available.
Send them wherever they want. So there will be hopefully at least one extra one this year. And I've been going in the schools as well. And so that's been fun too.
And so to encourage someone to maybe spend the winter finding their inner artist, do you have any pointers for somebody that might be in Skagway? They might not be able to take your class.
You know,
I mean, what should people do?
I've met people who have said that they really want to do art or their passion is painting. And what I have told people in the past is don't think about it anymore. Just do it. Like the night before, if you say, I'm going to try to paint tomorrow, lay out your supplies the night before.
Put them on the kitchen table
so you have
no choice.
Absolutely, because you know what? Probably the next day, you're just going to get up and say, oh, this is a priority. I've got to go do this and this and this. But if it's right there in your face, and you might wake up and be inspired and sit down and paint, and you might start a beautiful career that way.
One of the tips that I heard from somebody was interesting with people who say they don't have time, they got to go to work or the kids at school or there's this whole thing happening. Is to take a look at the time you spend on social media and subtract it.
Oh, exactly.
And if every time you were going to go look, every time you were going to go peek at Facebook or peek online at the news or a video or whatever it is, you actually, even just as a practice, said, I'm going to open a book of poetry or I'm going to make a little drawing or I'm going to have my art set up and I'm going to walk over there in the morning when I wake up instead of turn on my phone.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And this works for almost everything, you know, reading, music, and we're all guilty of it, I think,
absolutely.
In this age. But it's really a habit. And if you start calculating it up like the way we used to TV hours or quote unquote screen time, we don't seem to count all that other stuff.
Exactly.
You know, but
I will do that
time.
Even when I'm working in art. I'll be like, nope, you cannot touch your phone until this is done. You know, and it's bad. It's really bad.
But I think that's another way to find the time that you'd be surprised how much you can find. And also, I think in concentrated bursts, there's even somebody, I think it was Ernest Hemingway talked about that he always left his desk with unfinished work. So that when he got up the next day to look, he had some place to start. You didn't go till you were done. So if you have something that's unfinished, like Kate was talking about when she was here earlier, just hang it on the wall. Like, you're going to go back to it. And then even if you only have 20 minutes, a half hour, 45 minutes, you have a place to start and stop. You don't have to finish everything every time.
Yeah.
It can be ongoing as just something. I mean, you don't read a book to finish it. You don't sing a song to finish it. You don't necessarily have to do a painting to finish it. It's the process.
And I think you'll realize if you even do a little bit of creative anything in a day, you as a person, individual, will feel so much better.
Right.
It's like exercise.
Yep. And nobody regrets it. There isn't one person that says, gee, I wish I hadn't have played my guitar today, or I wish I hadn't have painted a picture or written a poem.
Exactly.
I found for my own discipline, and it's similar to yours in some way, because a lot of my artists work too, I found writing haikus was just really fun because it was just for the pleasure of it.
Right.
And then writing little acrostic poems or little things for my grandchildren that you're just using their name.
Oh, nice.
You know, and nothing that is going to be published anywhere or be some famous thing, but it's just fun playing with words.
Absolutely.
And short things. And, you know, so you can do that, make little pictures that you just put in the mail and send to somebody
that's lovely.
Just to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's lots of ways without starting big and saying I'm going to make something.
Absolutely.
Just to add a little more creativity in your life. And Lord knows around here in the winter, there's ample opportunity.
Yep.
You bet.
Well, I think that just about does it for our time here.
Thanks so
Terry.
Much. Yeah.
Thanks for inspiring us to do some art this winter.
Thank you, Marley. We're going to take one of her classes.
Yes.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Thank you, Terry.
All right. Thanks, Terry.